we've talked about goals before, about setting goals and trying to make sure that you know what you're supposed to have. I just want you to know that you should have expectations of yourself. And the expectations should be high. They shouldn't just be that you're a regular person, whatever. You're no longer an Eretz Yisrael, and that's true. You're no longer in the highest form that you could possibly get to. But you are in an environment of growth. You are in a place where you are supposed to be striving for more, trying to become a better person, and improving on not only your skills, but your abilities to get yourself ready for what's going to be in the future. Let's say that a person doesn't have any goals at all. Do you want to waste your life? Do you want to take the rest of your life and say that you're going to be absolutely nothing? I don't settle for mediocrity. And I don't want anyone here settling for just being middle of the road, I do enough, that sort of attitude of just being okay with where you are and where you've been and what you've done up until this point. You should want more. You should be more. That's where you should get to. Soon, you're going to be in a world, even if you're in Rabbanus, you're going to be in a world where you are the furthest thing from Ruchnius. There are possibilities you're going to be using a different name than the name that you have in Yeshiva. The Tzvi just doesn't work out well in the business setting, and usually people end up changing the name just to make it easier on other people. It's likely that you're going to have different clothing, that the clothing that you're going to have is going to be very different from what you're wearing now to what you're going to wear in a business setting. It's not the norm, even if you do wear white and black, to wear the specific white and black every single day, to wear the same jacket, the same whatever it is. It's to change. It's to make yourself look a little bit more different when you're going out there. No longer are you going to have any time to sit and hover over a sugya and to think about what the Gemara might be trying to tell you. It's just not there. Instead, unfortunately, you're not going to have the time to look up the sources, be able to figure it out. You're going to have to go with everybody else to a rav and try to figure it out on the fly, or have just the answers being given to you by looking it up in a little safer, rather than really figuring it out on your own. You want to know now whether you should use the Erev or not? You can spend some time. You have extra time to be able to go and look up the Gemaras, look up the Shulchan Aruch, look up the Mishnah Berurahs, look up the Moshes, and try to figure out what's the deal with the Erev. When it boils down to it, when you're at work and you don't have the time for all that type of Ian. So really it's just, you go to the rug, you hold the Arab? Yes. Okay, then I hold the Arab. And that's not the world you should live in. You should live in a world where you have time to be able to spend hours in doing it. But there's not that much time left. And not always are we going to be Zoka to be able to have such a thing. The thing you have to remember is that that person who's working, wearing the different clothing, asking a quick Shiloh, who changed his name, is not the real you. You are not Steve or Michael or Jack or John. That's not your real name. That's not your real name. Your real name is Tzvi, Yaakov, Moshe, Yonasan, whatever it is. That's your real name. You get that back very few times during the year. Rosh Hashanah comes in, Yom Kippur comes in. Those types of days you can reminisce. You can bring yourself back and say, I remember when I was a Yonasan and no one knew that I had an English name. I remember when I was a Moshe and there was nothing else to my name aside from just Moshe, and that's that. You can remember what it means to sit down, right? And to really feel that this is who you are. You can remember that. And it happens during that time. It's an amazing thing. You won't have to worry about whether or not your davening chakras is earlier than an actual alos shachar or of a sikin minyan of when you have to make your train. You have to make a 6:58 train. What are you supposed to do? There's nothing you can do. You want to have that yeshiva mentality back, and it's going to be very, very difficult to do so when you're in the position that you're in. So the truth is, you might end up start thinking to yourself while you're in that position, you are the person you are. That's not necessarily true. I really am Michael. I really am Sam. I really am John or Jack or whatever it is. That's what it is. The Yetzer Hara is screaming at you that this is the real you. The Yonatan, the Moshe, the Tzvi is the fake. That's not you. The you is the Jack, John, or whatever. And the fake person is the guy who shows up on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You don't really mean it. You sit in Rosh Hashanah, you daven for a little bit, you say, this is where I want to be. You say, Daniel Kippur, this is who I am. And then you go right back to your old Jack, John, Michael self, right after everything is said and done. That's the Yetzer Hara. You start saying to yourself that you're a hypocrite, that you really think one way, but you really are the other way. You say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur that you don't want to watch inappropriate movies. And then that night, the next day, you see something that you know you're not supposed to see. You say to yourself that you want to start an extra Seder and work on yourself more and learn a little bit extra. And then the next day, the reality hits and you say, you know what, I'm not going to be able to do this. It's not going to happen. You say that you're going to concentrate on your tefillah and your benching and do something a little bit better. And then the next day, maybe even that meal at the Suda right after Yom Kippur, you forgot to bench. You forgot to say the brachas correctly. And you just got up and walked away without saying anything. See, the fake you is over there. The fake you is on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And the real you, that's something totally different. The real you is the person who's messed up quite often and really isn't worth HaKadosh Baruch Hu's time of day. So I'm going to give you a muscle. A muscle to try to understand why we can deal with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and come out of it and join this man, and how Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is the real, real, real you. See, Yisrael and Chana, not real people. Yisrael and Chana did not have a very good marriage. As many times as they would agree to themselves that they should go to a therapist, they should go to a rabbi, and work on their marriage and make it a little bit better, they would always go back to the old routine. It would just go right back to what they had before. So they said to themselves, you know, why even bother trying? What's the point? Every time we go to a new therapist, every time we go to a new rabbi, it just goes right back. We're not improving, and we're not getting any better. So they remembered the dreams that they shared when they first got married, and that they said that they would always be dedicated to one another, and that it would work with themselves. So every time they remembered that, it made their situation more painful. So they had an idea. Their idea was they would come to terms with their reality. The reality was they did not share the same ideals anymore. The reality was is that the dreams, their marriage, was not the way that they wanted it to be. But they would not surrender. They weren't going to take it down. Every year, on their anniversary, no matter how difficult it would be business-wise or personal-wise, they were going to take a vacation. And on this vacation, they'd stay away from every economic pressure that you can imagine. They would stay away from all their careers and any difficulty that came up. They said, we're going to take this vacation and we're going to forget everything. We're going to go on an extended and luxurious weekend that we really can't afford. But we're going to go on this trip together, and we're going to hang out together, and we're going to do stuff together, fun stuff that we would never do in a normal situation. And we're going to ignore the practical everyday issues, which is making our marriage into something that's just not working. And every year, they took this anniversary trip. And it was amazing. For 4 days, they had no one to talk to but each other. For 4 days, they didn't have to worry about the financial pressure that they had at home, their kids and how they were doing in school, all the other issues that made everything so stressful. For 4 days, they just sat and talked to each other about what they liked, about what they didn't like, about the world around them, about little things, tiny little things, and forgot about everything else. They did not think that this was going to save the quality of their marriage. As soon as the vacation's over, it's going to be right back to reality and the fact that they were not as enamored as they once were with one another, and that was going to be what was going to be. But for a few days, they said to themselves, we're going to be young, we're going to be carefree, we're going to be absorbed with one another. We're going to think to ourselves, we want to relive these times when we were so drawn to one another and felt that we were connected to one another. Throughout the year, whenever Yisrael and Chana were upset about their marriage, they would think back to those couple days that they spent on that anniversary vacation. They said to themselves, that was good. Sometimes they even smiled at each other when there was something that happened that reminded them about something that they had done over that vacation. They smiled not only to themselves, to each other, when they remembered such a thing. They came back to it and they looked forward. They actually looked forward to the next year on their anniversary when they would be able to do this again. We're married to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We have a marriage that we are not going to get out of. There's no way out of it. There's nothing we can do. This marriage does not have a divorce. There's no get. There's nothing we can do about it. You have to make the anniversary something to remember. And the anniversary becomes something which is special. And if you had a good Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and then you thought to yourself, you know what? It was a fake. It's not the same. I'm not the same person that am a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Tzvi Zimmerman is not the same Cheshvan Tzvi Zimmerman. That's not the same person. I am the Cheshvan Tzvi Zimmerman is the real guy, and the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is the fake guy. The guy that doesn't really exist. This is what you have to say to yourself. You're right. The reality hits, and Tzvi Zimmerman is a Cheshvan Tzvi Zimmerman. But there are times when I was married to a Kaddish Baruch Hu and I had the most unbelievable time in the world. Where it was so awesome that I was connected to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And I look forward to the next year's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I look forward to the next Yom Noraim to get back to that Tzvi Zimmerman. I want to be that Tzvi. I want it. So when you're at work, it's the same way. A Michael is a Michael is a Michael. But he looks forward to being a Moshe once again. He thinks to himself, I wish I could be that Moshe. And that thought process, that idea of how to relive the glory days, so to speak, should stay with you while you're in yeshiva. You're having a tough time? You don't know if you're going to be able to do it? Think back to what you said in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Were you able to sit in davening? Were you able to connect to a Kaddish Baruch Hu? Were you able to have a relationship with Hashem like you can't have during the rest of the year? If you did, then right now just smile and say, right now it might be a little bit hard. I'm going to get back to that. I want to come back to that. Every time you have those types of thoughts over the next month, and it's a hard month, it's Cheshvan, it's Kislev, it's Teves, it's Shvat, it's Adar Aleph, and the dreaded Adar Beis. Dreaded out of age. When you're sitting there and you say to yourself, when is this month going to end? When is the cold going to end? When is it going to start getting warm again? And the answer in Chicago is who knows? It could be tomorrow, it could be in 6 months, it could be never. We have absolutely no idea. It's possible never. It's possible. You say to yourself, you sit there and you say to yourself, you know what? There are glory days and they're coming. It's toward the end of the summer. And we don't know what that means. It could be anything during that time. But it's glory days. And you think back and you say to yourself, I want to relive my marriage. I want to revamp. My anniversary is coming up. I'm going to do something special for my anniversary, even if the relationship right now is not the way I want it to be. That's how you relive it. That's how you work yourself out. And if you do that, that's already a goal. A goal, an end goal, something that you can reach forward and to say to yourself, this is what I want. Because it is, and we know it. We know you want it. We know this is what you want. We all know that this is what we all want. You just have to relive it. Relive it in your mind and bring it back for yourself. Hopefully there should be only good things for us and all of us, but it should be something which we're saying to ourselves, I can't wait for the next Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.